early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for a denarius for the day, he sent them out into his vineyard. When he went out about 9 o'clock, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and he said to them, "You also go into the vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right." And so they went. When he went out again about noon and about 3 o'clock, he did the same. And about 5 o'clock, he went out and found others standing around. And so he said to them, "Why are you standing here idle all day?" And they said to him, "Because no one has hired us." And he said to them, "You also go into the vineyard." When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his manager, "Call for the laborers and give them their pay, beginning with the last, and then go to the first." When those hired about 5 o'clock came, each of them received a denarius. Now, when the first came, they thought that they would receive more, but each of them also received a denarius. And when they received it, they grumbled against the landowner, saying, "These last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us, and we have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat." But he replied to one of them, "Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to this last the same as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or are you envious because I am generous? So the last will be first, and the first will be last." For the word in creation, for the word in scripture, for the word within us. Thanks be to God. I invite you to pray with me. O Lord, may the word or eretz, it means land or soil or earth. God created me on the third day when God separated the waters from the earth. That was a long, long time ago, and if you pardon the pun, I'm as old as dirt. Not long after God created me, the Creator scooped up a bit of the earth and breathed into it. And Adam, the first man, was born. And I, the land, the earth, the soil, am God's gift to all of humankind. God promised Abraham two things. God promised Abraham land, and God promised Abraham descendants. The land was a gift to all people so that all would have enough to eat, and so that there would be prosperity and there would be wellness with all the generations to come, because the land passed down from one generation to the next generation to the next generation. That was God's gift to all people. This was the Creator's plan to ensure abundant life. But humans had their own idea. I've watched them and their ways all these many years. And instead of trusting God's vision for abundance for all, they became fearful. And because of their fears, they created a world of scarcity where there wasn't enough to go around. Rather than living in the mutuality that God had intended, some took land from others and tried to secure lives of abundance through this land grabbing. And those left without land suffered, and the generations that followed them suffered too. Instead of realizing that they were merely a part of all of creation, some humans have all but forgotten that we are interconnected with all other human beings and interconnected with the creation itself. And although these land barons were rich in land, their hearts were bankrupt. These landowners bought up land of small farms after the original farmers or the landowners fell on hard times. There was either a drought or a failed crop. And so they would be forced to sell off their land, or most of it anyway. Sometimes they were allowed to keep a small portion of it and farm it for themselves, but they needed to sell off most of it in order to feed their family, most of the time they had to go to work for the landowner. I've seen these land grabs play out over history, not so unlike those that are happening today in your world, in your time. Not so unlike Ukraine or what's happening in South Africa or even in South America. But first century Israel was no exception. At that time and place, of course, Rome was the superpower of the world. It's very possible that some of these day workers in this parable, today's story, were farmers who also had to sell their land in order to pay the taxes to Caesar. If they did not make payment to Caesar, their lives could be taken from them, they could be thrown in prison, and then if that would happen, their families would starve and be vulnerable. God knows that humans have to make a living. However, they do not need to make a killing, because when they do, they end up killing the environment and they end up killing one another and diminishing their own lives. As your church sign says, and the land sees everything, we are one with all creation. Traditionally, however, this parable has been understood to illustrate the generosity of God. That is, at the very end of the parable, those who had worked from sun up to sundown received a denarius, and those who came at 12 o'clock or 3 o'clock or 5 o'clock also received a denarius. And so I know that even your Pastor Don has preached that sermon before, and that is one way to interpret this parable. But it is not the only way, because parables are polyvalent. They have multiple meanings. I just wonder, what if this is a political and economic message that Jesus has for us, that gives us a snapshot in time of the systemic injustice in which these landowners who had taken more than their share are exploiting the workers? Upon deeper reflection, it's doubtful that the landowner in this parable is the God figure for several reasons. To begin with, this landowner is simply a self-absorbed optimist and opportunist. Life in the vineyard is all about knowing what time it is, whether that's time to plant or to dress the vines or to harvest the grapes, followed by a time to let the land simply rest. But the most important time for the landowners, however, was the harvest. And this was called crushing time, crushing the grapes. When it is time for the crush, there is a great sense of urgency to harvest the grapes before they spoil. There's no time to rest because everything that is not harvested goes to waste. It was likely that the landowner returned to the marketplace so many times at noon and at 3 and at 5 o'clock, not because he was concerned with those who didn't have work for that day, so much as he was watching the sun go lower and lower in the sky, and he knew that his time was running out. I believe that he was desperate, and if he didn't get all the grapes harvested, he would lose money, and he knew it. Far from being concerned with the well-being of the day workers, I believe he was focused on maximizing his profits. And so just as the seasonal workers are hired in retail in your own time for Christmas time, the landowners offered employment to these day workers in the marketplace at several different times during the day. Did I mention that these landowner types had slaves? So you might ask, why didn't they just have the slaves do the work? Simple. The slaves were their property, and harvesting the grapes was some of the most strenuous, hard work that a person could do. And they didn't want to jeopardize their property, so they would hire these day workers that they could get for a very small price. It was strenuous, back-breaking work. And they were paid if you'll pardon the pun again, dirt cheap wages. You see, day laborers made up about 5 to 15% of the population, and they were the working poor. They were known as the expendables in that time and place. For them, life was solitary, it was poor, it was nasty, and one commentator says, brutish and short. The best that they could hope for was this occasional seasonal work and charity in between. Secondly, the landowner was really not that generous. We're told that these workers were paid a denarius. This was at the bottom of the pay scale for a day's wages, and it was barely enough to maintain a family of at a subsistence level. It was much like your minimum wage of today. The landowner was not that generous at all. And would God really create strife among the workers by pitting them against one another and paying them the same regardless of how they worked? Not likely. The landowner was focused on maximizing his personal profits at the expense of the day laborers and the farmers and their descendants from whom he bought up their land when they fell on hard times. It was a horrible system where the people at the top, like the landowners, accumulated wealth, while the people who were the day workers and their descendants were trapped into a system where they worked for the man and didn't have a prayer of and even a hope of a better kind of life. Was the landowner the God figure? I really doubt it. To understand a passage in the Bible, though, it's often helpful to read what comes before and what comes after it. You may remember that the story in Matthew's gospel that comes right before this one, found in chapter 19, is the parable of the rich young ruler. And he asks Jesus, "What must I do to inherit eternal life? I've done my very best and followed all of the commandments." And Jesus says, "Sell your possessions, give the money to the poor," and that the rich man went away grieving because he had many possessions. Afterwards, Jesus tells the disciples that it will be easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter into the kingdom of God. Jesus' values and those of the landowner are in opposition to one another. In your own time, much of humanity, especially those driven by the profit motive in the fossil fuel industry and industrialized agriculture, have used the earth, me, with no thought for tomorrow's generation. The farmers, they put out of business, and also the land has become barren because of the use of big machinery and synthetic fertilizers. The story lives on in different forms in your own time. You live in a country where the CEOs of the top three auto manufacturers earn over 300 times the median salary paid to those who work in their factories. No wonder they went on strike. And now I understand that in the United States, there are more people on strike than any other time in history for similar reasons, in the Screenwriters Guild and nurses. The first line of this parable reads, "The kingdom of heaven is like a landowner." But the gospel writer of Matthew's term for kingdom of heaven does not mean going to heaven. When Jesus shared this parable, it was not prescriptive. It was descriptive of systemic injustice that always clashes with God's vision, which includes a world where there is enough for all. From his first sermon in the synagogue, Jesus was always holding up a mirror, showing the people the truth about themselves that they often didn't like to hear. Perhaps you remember after he preached that very first sermon in the synagogue in Nazareth, they were so mad at what he said that they wanted to hurl him off the cliff. Today's parable is much the same. I think it probably got under the skin of a lot of the people who heard it originally. In reading this parable, Jesus holds up a mirror to us too. And he knew that what he was saying was dangerous because right immediately following this parable, we are told that Jesus predicts his own death for the third time. Perhaps Jesus is asking us, when we are reading this parable today, why do we live in a world where 1 in 10 people go to bed hungry every single night, when there is actually enough food for all? Perhaps Jesus is asking us to examine, who are we in this parable? What are we doing to disrupt the systemic injustice that helps a few to thrive and many to barely scrape by? Do we know those who picked the produce that we enjoy mostly come from migrant workers that make $13.25 on average? What if we were to use our holy imaginations and rewrite this parable for our own time? Instead of getting paid at the end of the day, what if at the end of the day, everyone somehow would get an equal share of land and a say in how it is taken care of? What if we turned plots after plots of land into co-ops like Clarence and Florence Jordan and Martin and Mabel Engel did in 1942 as a demonstration plot for the kingdom of God? And what if the people who got mad, those who had sour grapes, were the landowners and not the harvesters? What can we do to disrupt this system of injustice in our own time? This morning, in telling us this parable, Jesus is not only asking us to find ourselves in the story, Jesus is asking us to wake up and ask, where do we and who do we aspire to be, and how do we plan to get there? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.